Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting today live from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Dr. Jason McEntee is in Sioux Falls today for literature and medicine. He leads the English department at South Dakota State University, and he joins us today to talk about Lit and Med and the group at the Sioux Falls Veterans Administration. Jason McEntee, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Lori. Glad to be here.
Let's start with a little bit of history background on Lit and Med. It's been going on for a while in Sioux Falls. You've been involved since 2011, is that right?
Yes, correct.
So tell me where it came from and sort of the purpose behind it.
I'll give you a sort of a brief historical sketch, and it goes back to roughly 1998. In 1998, the United States Congress passed a bill to establish funding to establish a veterans archive of audio recordings. On the heels of that, it introduced a larger conversation about how do we continue to engage our veterans. And then that also grew into a conversation about how do we engage all of our service members in conversations about what they're doing. What are they doing after combat? What are they doing in their lives? How do we record their stories? What do we do with their stories? When we went into Iraq, there was almost an immediate conversation that started about how are we going to engage our servicemen and women when they return from combat in ways that go beyond the sort of traditional treatment at for example, at a veterans hospital. And one of the things that emerged from that conversation was how can we incorporate or employ the humanities to create a conversation about veterans and what they're going through, and in many ways, how can we also reach out directly to veterans using literature, using film, help them in their struggles or in their transitions back to civilian life. So that's the sort of the short background of how literature and medicine programs emerged. And if you fast forward to 2010, the South Dakota Humanities Council received a very nice grant from the Maine Humanities Council to start investigating ways for it to start literature and medicine programs or veterans writing groups. And so in 2010, Sherry DeBoer and Chuck Woodard at SDSU, who's now retired, he was one of my colleagues in the English department, they reached out to Shirley Redmond at the VA hospital. And Chuck actually piloted the literature and medicine program in 2010. I joined them. I came along for the last session that year and became immediately interested in what was going on there. My background as an academic, my research is largely in war literature and film, and specifically Vietnam and more recently at Gulf Wars in Afghanistan and the War on Terror.
What was it that was so compelling about what Chuck Woodard started that made you want to participate? What were you finding during that pilot program?
I was finding that there are ways for me to take what I'd been traditionally using in my classrooms, both at the undergraduate and graduate level, where I taught war literature and film courses. I found a way to take those lessons, for lack of a better word, into a larger public sphere, and in fact, probably the most important public sphere, which is that of the VA hospital, and with the veterans returning home. I saw what was taking place there. The hospital staff in reading literature and in looking at war movies to sort of enhance their understanding of the veterans' experience. I was immediately drawn to what was going on there, and it's sort of difficult to describe, at least in those early stages. But now it's something that we continue doing every year.
So give me an idea of the basics of how it works. You're in town today. What are you talking about today?
Today we are – this is our last session for the spring. And today the group is reading a novel called A Big Enough Lie by Eric Bennett. Eric Bennett is a writer and professor at Providence University. And this book received almost immediate national acclaim. It's a novel. It's a work of fiction, but it also addresses really compelling themes of of warrior identity, what happens to warriors when they come home or if they choose not to come home. And it sort of introduces a lot of questions about what goes on in a soldier's life when she or he ends combat and decides what they're going to do. And
what do you mean if they choose not to come home?
In this particular novel, and I don't want to give away too much of the plot because it's a great novel and I highly recommend it. It's actually quite brilliant. But in this particular novel, one of the soldiers, in fact, the main soldier, if we can call it the main protagonist, decides not necessarily not to come home, but to come home and assume a different identity. Mm. And so that in many ways as metaphor describes what a lot of soldiers talk about when they come home, especially if they are experiencing trauma, that coming home requires them to not only try to come back to the identity that they had before mm-hmm. combat, but also many of our men and women talk about how they have to assume even more new identities to try to mask the new identity that emerged after their time in combat. So it's a very complex and compelling the novel is a very complex and compelling look at those very complex and compelling issues that our men and women face.
What makes an effective combat novel or war novel?
That's a very tough question. I think first and foremost, it has to have an immediate connection to sort of I'm a big believer in some of the universal themes. Mm-hmm. First of all, we'll never answer the question of why we go to war, but we a good war novel or a good war memoir or a good war poem, for that matter, will attempt to address the question of we've gone to war. What do we do with our experiences during that time? And more important, how can we use those experiences to help to talk first of all, to create a conversation about what's going on, and second of all, to create a larger understanding of the sort of awfulness of war. A lot of war literature will reveal the awfulness of war, but a lot of war literature will also attempt to reveal what happens to the human spirit. Does it triumph post-combat? Does it not triumph post-combat? And I think some of those universal questions are – and using war as a way to talk about that also allows, I think, readers and viewers of film to address some of our other larger universal questions. You know, what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean for us to what does this life mean? How do we navigate it? What does it mean when we have setbacks? What does it mean when we have successes? How do we handle that? And how do we handle ourselves in the face of adversity in our day-to-day lives? And war narratives, I think people are really compelled by them, first of all, because they're curious about learning, especially people who have never been a soldier, have not gone to war, are interested in learning about the experience so that they can understand what our men and women are going through. But I also think that they also, for people that are very interested in reading as a lifelong endeavor and watching movies too, literature allows them to tackle some of those big questions of existence. I know it sounds very heady, but it's true. That's why a lot of times why people read.
How does film factor into or how you applied the use of film in this group and to what effect?
For film purposes, the Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom had an almost immediate wellspring of literature. People were writing memoirs. In fact, your next guest, Kayla Williams, was one of the first published memoirists after the war. Her book, Love My Rifle More Than You.
Which is a great title.
Yes.
Love
yes.
My Rifle More Than You.
Yes. And Kayla actually, I need to have a shameless plug for Kayla. Kayla actually joined our Lit and Med session last month. She came in and we read her more recent book, which is called Plenty of Time When We Get Home, which is a book about she and her husband working through trauma together. Both of them are veterans, and she joined our program live and in session, and we had an excellent conversation with her. Film took a long time to catch up. The books emerged almost immediately in 2004. Mm. Film didn't really catch hold as a narrative about these wars until maybe 2009, 2010, and then not really until the Hurt Locker one a bunch of Academy Awards, did people start realizing that there are these emerging movies about mostly Iraq. Afghanistan is, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but Afghanistan is in many ways Korea, the Korean War was back in that day. It is. It's not an afterthought. It's not forgotten, but it gets very little attention in mainstream narratives. But what I've done is tried to incorporate movies that I think will help the VA staff continue to help understanding the men and women that come to them for treatment. And in particular, we've looked at some documentaries, The War Tapes, for example. We've watched The Hurt Locker. More recently, we read and watched the very controversial both memoir and movie American Sniper, and talked about some of the issues that emerged from.
Some of the reactions to American Sniper?
I think probably some of the same reactions that we saw. Emerge just on a more national scale. People really gravitate toward the movie and the memoir, which is very long, but it's also a very compelling memoir and it spares no punches. So I think people were both taken aback by the frankness of the memoir, of Kyle's frankness in terms of how he talks about combat. He pulls no punches. If you've read it, you know, or seen the movie, he pulls no punches about his role as a soldier. And he embraces it, but he also, by the time he's winding down his whatever third or fourth or fifth tour of duty, and he himself is breaking down, there's a really compelling narrative that emerges from that in terms of what the toll that war takes on a human life. And I think that's what the group really gravitated toward.
And when you talked about warrior identity, I'm reminded of Ron Capps, and he was talking about using the Iliad and the Odyssey. Have you gone back to some more ancient works, or are you sticking contemporary?
If my friends from the group are listening to me today, they will remember that particular year of Lit and Med as one of the spectacular fails. and I say that I did have them read the Odyssey. And we also read Jonathan Shay's. Jonathan Shay is a writer and a psychiatrist. He's an academic and a psychiatrist. And he has got two excellent books. One is called Achilles in Vietnam, and one is called, and the follow-up is called Odysseus in America. And what he did was he sat down, and we read those books in this session as well, but we also read the source material, the Iliad and the Odyssey. And what he does in those books is he uses ancient literature to address contemporary themes emerging from veterans. And he started with Vietnam veterans, and then he's updated his more recent work to include what some of the research that's coming out of our more recent men and women who are returning home. But the compelling part about that is Ron Capps is very smart to talk about the Iliad is because when you look at our history of literature, one thing that is sadly and awfully consistent is war. We go back to our earliest literature. You go back to the Bible, for example. Mm. War is a prevalent theme throughout our literature, and that's a worldwide theme. And so it is something, again, going back to one of your earlier questions, this is why people gravitate toward war literature. It's something that we, whether you experience war directly or indirectly, it is a theme that, you know, again, regrettably, that we all share. I mean, we cannot escape our wars.
Is it more challenging in a film to avoid glorification of it than it is in literature? Is literature more nuanced, or are you finding in the current contemporary war films that they have a nuanced an approach to it versus some of the old sort of standard?
Yeah, I'll take American Sniper as an example there. American Sniper is a very polarizing movie, and upon first viewing, I think one of the initial audience reactions was that it was war porn, it was glorifying war, and so on. But I think time has been more kind to the movie and allowed for people to watch how the director Clint Eastwood really, as you said, that's a nice way of saying it, nuances the awfulness in ways that allows the movie to really by the movie's end and by the book's end less so. So what Eastwood does with the movie is actually work into especially the concluding moments the toll of trauma on the soldier. Now whether or not that people can debate and have a healthy debate about whether the earlier parts of the movie, especially those in combat, are glorifying war or whatever. But can't escape the fact that war is war and war is awful. And so I think that you'll see not only in that movie but in lots of other movies and in the literature too, that there's a very – and I think this is really a compelling theme of our more recent war literature, that there is a very heightened attention to issues of coming home and to issues of trauma and to issues of how coming home and trauma affect most importantly not only the soldiers themselves, but how they affect families, how they affect communities, how they affect all of those things. And you'll see almost a consistent theme in the literature, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, heightened attention to that.
Jason McEntee leads the English department at South Dakota State University. We've been talking about literature and medicine. The group is at the Sioux Falls VA. Jason, we're going to have to leave it there, but I'm wondering if you could give me a list of like five top reads that you've experienced, and we'll put it on our website sometime after the show. Do you think that's something you could do?
Sure.
Put you on the spot?
Right now?
I'll give you some time. Not right now.
Okay,
we'll do
that's
it after
fine.
The show. So you'll be able to log on sdpb.org/DakotaMidday, and a little bit this afternoon we'll have some titles for you recommended by Jason.
Great. Thank you.
After the break, Kayla Williams is a combat veteran and author of Love My Rifle, More Than You, Young and Female in the U.S. Army. She was recently appointed director of the Center for Women Veterans at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. You can hear our conversation after the break. You're listening to Dakota Midday, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Amid the opioid epidemic, a debate over what kind of treatment is best, doctors say opioid-based medications help with cravings and reduce overdoses.
We have tons of experience with patients who do very well on relapse prevention medicines.
Others see it as just replacing one drug with another.
I was still an addict. It was just legal.
A treatment debate later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon, beginning at 4 Central, 3 Mountain on SDPB Radio.
Program funding is provided with your annual donations and by Aberesk Law Firm of Rapid City. Aberesk Law Firm, providing legal services for clients throughout South Dakota. AbereskLaw.com.
Here's what happens. Things are going well until they're not.
We was living in Long Beach, me and my wife, and we were evicted illegally.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. A rare bright spot, though, in the homeless crisis in Los Angeles County. That is next time on Marketplace.
Tonight at 6:30 Central, 5:30 Mountain on SDPB Radio.